Hello, and welcome to Power Pros Podcast, episode 58, The Crystal Shards. I am your host, The Hoff, Chris Hoffman, and with me is my co-host, Scott Michella.
Thank you for putting up with me all these weeks.
My pleasure. I'm glad to have you here. And wouldn't you know it, we are back once again to talk about the latest goings-on in the world of Nintendo. It's actually been kind of a slow week, so there's actually not going to be a whole lot of news to talk about. But to go along with that, we're going to have some reader mail to respond to, and then we're going to have our big topic this week, which is going to be gaming's greatest leaders. You know, the last couple of weeks, we've had to put up with these big political conventions.
Oh my gosh.
Because of the election coming up. Yeah. Anyway, I don't want to talk about that, but I do want to talk about the greatest leaders in gaming and see which characters we would give our endorsements to.
All right.
But before that, let's kick it off with some news. And probably the biggest news to come out over the last week or so was additional details about Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon, those next mainline Pokemon games. They're coming out in November. Scott, were you paying attention to all this new stuff that came out?
I don't even know how you found other Pokemon news outside of Pokemon Go. I'm all ears here.
There's always Pokemon news.
I'm excited for this. So, yeah, tell me.
All right, I will give you the highlights then. Yeah, Nintendo released a new video showing most of this stuff. Nintendo and the Pokemon Company, of course. And there were a few things that they highlighted. For one thing, there are new versions of old Pokemon that are coming to the Alola region. So these characters that we knew before now have new Alola forms, such as there is an Alolan Vulpix, an Alolan Ninetales, an Alolan Sandshrew, and an Alolan Sandslash. And all of these now have icy variations for the Alola region.
Hmm.
I guess, it might be too hot and tropical there, so they've developed a natural character to that, and that's to be icy. But more important than that one is the Alolan Exeggutor.
This is a gaggle of eggs, right? This is like five eggs? Or is it one egg?
Well, there's Exeggute in the old game, and that was a gaggle of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And then the old Exeggutor was more like coconuts on a tree.
Okay.
But now, in the Alola region, it's like a giant palm tree, like combined with a giraffe. So it looks like this big giraffe critter walking around with this enormous neck, and now it has an additional head on its tail. So there's three coconut-like heads
what?
On the top of the tree,
yeah.
And another head on the tail, and it's got legs, and it's walking around. And I'll be honest, it's kind of terrifying.
I think
it's
they're
kind
playing,
of freaking me out.
It sounds like they're playing a little fast and loose with, you know, I think they, I don't know. It just sounds like they applied this Pokemon name to, if it has nothing to do with previous versions of this Pokemon, how could they possibly keep
the previous one?
It is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it used to be kind of like a tree, but now it's just like this big, long, old, tall palm tree.
Okay.
And as I said, apparently it sprouted an extra head on its keister. But, this guy's freaky looking.
So in the islands, everything's crazy.
yes, it is.
Full of palm trees.
Yeah, so like I said, it's creepy, it's weird, but I do kind of like it in all its weird creepiness. Then on top of that, there were a few new Pokemon revealed. There was the evolved form of the Young Goose, which was the mongoose type thing that looks like it's wearing a bad toupee, but it evolves into Gumshoes, and it's apparently a like detective Pokemon critter of some sort, which is kind of weird. We saw a new character called Minior, which is basically a boring, spiky rock, but then the rock exterior comes off and reveals a core inside, and it's got different colored variations. I'm not really sure what the differences are, but that's kind of interesting. And then the one that was most interesting for me was this new bird called Oricorio, and there are four different variations of this critter, each one corresponding to a different island in Sun and Moon, and each one has a different dance associated with it. So there's one that has like pom-poms, looks like a cheerleader, and it's an electric type. And then there's one that's all dressed up for a luau, and it's a psychic type. Then there's one that's more traditional Japanese, and it's a ghost type. And, you know, I don't know if they usually go this in-depth with the different variations of Pokemon in past games, but I think this is, it's pretty neat and interesting.
So I'm looking at the page of Pokemon on the website here. Are they continuing to announce new Pokemon as a run up to the game coming out?
Yes.
Or
yes,
is this
they
it?
Are. That's where this came from.
Is this what they usually do?
Well, that's the funny thing is that in the past, things were very different, especially at Nintendo Power, because usually it was not a global release. Usually it would come out in Japan first, and then it would come out way later in the U.S. And so we'd be getting ready to talk about this in Nintendo Power and be like, okay, we're ready to, you know, blow this game out of the water. It's going to be coming out soon. Let's start talking about stuff. And, you know, we'd hear back from Nintendo, okay, you can talk about the starter Pokemon, nothing more. And I'm like, we're like, but the game has been out in Japan for 3 months. Everybody knows everything about it.
Yeah.
Why can't we talk about these other cool things? And sometimes they'd say yes, and sometimes they'd say no. But it was always, you know, kind of a fight. But now that it's global, it would keep finding out all this stuff, this continuous trickle of information. And that makes things a lot more interesting on the U.S. side of things. Maybe it's always been this way in Japan, but, you know, certainly for me, this feels like a very different type of information reveal than I'm used to on the North American side. So in addition to these new Pokemon that we found out about, well, there are also ride Pokemon, which apparently you'll be able to, you know, mount various types of Pokemon and use them in specific areas to cross harsh terrain and to smash through barriers and do things like that. That seems pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm surprised this hasn't happened before.
I mean, certainly you've been able to ride Pokemon before.
Oh, you were? Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not entirely sure how this is different. I mean, I know you can only use these in very specific situations, so there's something different about it. But whatever, it definitely looks cool.
Have you played this yet?
Oh, no. Definitely not. I mean, this has not been made available at E3 or anything like that, so no, I wouldn't have had any opportunity to do such a thing. I have to say I'm looking forward to trying it out, though, and I'm also looking forward to trying out another one of the new features, which are the Z moves. These are like super duper powerful moves you can use once per battle. According to the information, they are the result of a trainer and a Pokemon unleashing their full power together, and every type of Pokemon, every elemental type of Pokemon has a different Z move. And in the trailer they showed, it looked like, you know, it was Armageddon being unleashed. Like, most of them resulted in some sort of massive mushroom cloud being unleashed on their opponent. Yeah. Or if not that, you know, maybe a giant, whirlpool tornado type of things. Anyway, they seem super destructive and super powerful. Apparently, you have to have a Z ring and then the correct type of Z crystal set into this Z ring that is the same type of Z crystal your Pokemon has. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, then you can use these moves. But again, it's only once per battle, so you can't be, you know, too overpowering with it, I suppose. Yeah. But it seems like, you know, for most average battles, it would be more than enough to completely obliterate whoever you're facing. And to go along with that, there is a Z ring toy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's certainly not anything that's required, but apparently it lights up and vibrates and plays sounds when you use a Z move in the game. So somehow it's actually, you know, connected to your 3DS and tied to what you do in the software, and you'll get to, you know, feel yourself using this thing in real life. Obviously, this is something for kids.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's already out there and available for pre-order on Amazon and other places as well. So
I gotta say, when I'm playing games on my PS4 or my Xbox One, I miss the vibrate feature when I'm playing my 3DS. How do you feel about vibrating controllers?
You know, I can take them or leave them.
Because I
was never a big fan back in the day. I wasn't really sure what the big deal was. But, you know, when it is missing, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, that did kind of add something to the experience sometimes. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
You know, given the option, I think I'll take it. It's not like I'm going to turn it off if I have the choice.
Yeah, I'd like to have a rumble pack. I want my own rumble. I mean, this is, I wonder, yeah, I really wonder if the whatever Nintendo is working on next is going to have some sort of vibrate feature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so. Well, for this, you will kind of have a toy rumble pack strapped to your arm.
A goofy ring around your arm. And game, is it a bracelet or is it actually for your fingers? Do you know?
No, but it's a bracelet.
It's a bracelet.
It's basically the same thing that's in the game.
Okay.
Even though it's called a ring, it's really a bracelet.
Gotcha.
So, yep.
But they don't want to call it a bracelet because bracelets are for girls. Is that what you think they're going that route, calling this thing a ring?
You know, I hadn't considered that. I suppose it's possible. I don't think that ring sounds any more manly than bracelet.
Yeah. I just want to be clear. I don't believe that, but I believe that that's what the Pokemon company believes. So, yeah, I think that's kind of silly, but all right.
Well, very possible. Very possible.
Wear whatever you want.
Anyway, speaking of Pokemon, how about that Pokemon Go?
Yeah, how about that Pokemon Go? A lot of people mad about their Pokemons. I mean,
yes, they are.
I think they have to be very, very careful about adding and removing features with this thing that so many people have taken, like made a culture around already. So,
yeah,
what were your thoughts on this? Because basically, what they did was, there was a feature where it showed how, like, when you looked at the radar screen that showed what Pokemon were around in your area, you could see how far away they may be. Each Pokemon icon had a number of footsteps next to it, and it was either 1, 2, or 3 footsteps, and that meant you could kind of judge how far away Pokemon were. But
yeah, except that feature kind of stopped working.
It really
hadn't worked for several weeks due to the updates they did.
Mm-hmm. So then, what did they do? They basically removed that feature.
But the bigger deal is that, you know, because the radar didn't work, you know, some of the fans had made their own stopgap. And there was a website called Pokevision. And you could use that to actually see where the Pokemon were in your vicinity. And, you know, some people could consider it cheating, but other people are like, well, this is just fixing a broken feature of the game. And until they fix this in the game, this seems reasonable to use.
Yeah.
But either through changes to the game or through cease and desist orders from Niantic, this thing is gone now. And people are really, really upset about this. And a lot of people are like, yeah, this game is unplayable now. If you're not going to do anything, you're not going to let us do anything, we want our money back. And so, yeah, it's just raising quite a stink right now. Personally, I wasn't using that to play the game. I'm, you know, not, you know, that into it, that I'm not comfortable just, you know, walking around and finding whatever. But I can understand why people are really upset about this, and I really don't think it's fair that this thing has been disabled when there's really not a good alternative.
Yeah, I mean, you know, looking at the map, you see the little leaves kind of flying up into the air where Pokemon are supposed to be kind of burrowing or whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess the game is really just encouraging you to walk around, see what that might be over there. And it makes, I don't know, I think it adds a little more mystery to the game. I think it's probably a good thing in the long run.
I think it's a crock.
You think it's a crock?
I think it's a crock.
Really?
And I mean, in the long run,
I think here's what the issue is. You've got millions of people using the game. It's obviously crushing their servers. This is possibly a very this is definitely a data intensive game. And
yes.
that amount totally of extra data to have to you know, store and show is a huge, you know, probably a big part of like why the game is kind of broken in a lot of the time. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Niantic has said. They've said that is the reason why they don't want them doing this, because it is super taxing on the servers.
Yeah.
And they've also said that in the long run, they do plan to fix the radar and make it better. So it's not like they are just like, oh no, we just want people to wander around. That is not the point. They do want people to be able to find Pokemon in the vicinity. It's just a shame that they couldn't fix it first and then demand that they take down, you know, this very popular website.
Yeah, yeah.
Personally, though, I'm more upset, or, you know, equally upset, I suppose, that in the iOS version of the game, they took away low power mode.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people think that low power mode is kind of useless because all it did was, you know, auto dim the screen when you turned your phone upside down. But since a lot of times I just want to walk around and hatch eggs and not actually actively be using the game, you know, that was perfect for me and it really saved my battery a lot. But now I can't do that. So I really hope they put that back in the next update.
Yeah, they. It feels like.
And what's your excuse for that one? Well, why do they take that away?
I mean, my excuse. I don't have an excuse for that, but I mean, you have an app here that you actually have to have running live on the screen in order to like walk a 5K to get an egg to hatch. This is bananas. It needs to work without the app running. It needs to tie into some sort of, I don't know, either the built-in panometer in the iPhone, or it needs to tie into whatever this PokeWalker clip-on, what's it called?
Oh, the Pokemon Go
Plus. Pokemon Go Plus.
That's coming out in September.
What a terrible name for what that thing is. But anyway. Yeah. That's obviously a feature that shouldn't exist in the game yet until they figure out a way to make it work without having the phone ban. Because, oh my gosh, everyone I see has this big juice pack hooked up to their phone because their phone will die in 2 hours running Pokemon Go. So yeah, that's kind of bizarre.
One of them juice packs. So,
you know, it's almost as if this is a mobile game made for a Nintendo handheld that wasn't brought to a Nintendo handheld and instead was put on a bunch of iPhones. So yeah, bizarre. How does it work on Android? Do you actually have to have the phone like running the same way on Android?
Yeah, I imagine it's exactly the same way as iPhone. I don't know for sure, but I
got to say that's more broken than Snapchat.
But hopefully they will fix this up and make things better, because as it is now, they've got a lot of unhappy users.
Yeah. So
hopefully they take care of that.
I hope so too. I really do.
Well, moving on to a little bit more happier news, there are rumors and rumblings that a most excellent 3DS game is going to be getting a second shot as a physical release.
This is a surprise for a game that's been out as a digital download for so long, for years. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Yeah, we're talking about Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, and Rising Star Games has been strongly hinting through Twitter that the game is going to be coming out in physical form. It came out in Japan as a physical game several months ago, and I'm like, wow, you know, this is a very good game. That's kind of tempting. Maybe I'll just get this Japanese edition. But I guess we're going to have to if it really indeed does come out in the West as a physical from Rising Star. You excited about this?
I own it digitally.
Me too, of course.
I mean, it's hard to rationalize buying a game, a physical version of the game.
Says you.
That you've played and finished. I still haven't yet purchased Shovel Knight physical. I'm going to buy Shovel Knight before I buy Shantae, but
okay. Well, they're both great.
They are both great. I like Shovel Knight more, but I definitely think it's a good thing, and I think what this is I don't know what this play is. It's bizarre. You know, this game's been out for a while. Do you have any idea how long Shantae the Pirate's Curse has been out?
Yeah, this one came out back in October of 2014.
Oh, it's old. It's not that old.
Yeah, not quite 2 years yet.
It's a toddler. It's almost a toddler.
Yeah. Yeah. That was also the second to last cover that we did on Nintendo Power. So I have a soft spot for that game as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Did they do a special edition in Japan, or was it just the game in a box?
I think it was just the game in the box. I don't think it ever got a digital release over there. Mm-hmm. So I believe this was its first release in Japan.
I see.
And they happened to do it physically.
Gotcha.
So it's probably just spawning from that. They're like, oh, well, it exists in physical form in Japan. So, hey, why not, you know, bring that back to the West?
Well, here's what I would say. If you haven't played this game, wait for it to come out in a physical form and buy it and play it. You'll love it.
Yeah, absolutely. It is a fantastic game. And, of course, the next one in the series, Half Genie Hero, is supposed to be out next month. So, yeah, Shantae Mania.
Wow.
Run wild.
Yeah.
And speaking of other older, unexpected games coming to Nintendo platforms, apparently the original Darksiders is coming to Wii U as Darksiders War Master Edition. That's pretty weird, wouldn't you say?
So that is really bizarre. Did you play this game back in the day?
No. I've never actually played much of the Darksiders games. I mean, Darksiders 2 was actually a Wii U launch game, if I recall correctly. And I played that a little bit, you know, way back, you know, when I was still at Nintendo Power. But I don't think I ever played the original.
So this is a remastered version of the original game?
Yes, a remaster of Darksiders 1. And it's only going to be sold for $20.
Hmm. Well, it's bizarre. Is it going to hit other, like, next-gen, is it going to, or current-gen platforms? Is it going to hit the PS4? Is it going to hit the Xbox One?
Yes, it's coming to pretty much all platforms. It's coming to Sony, it's coming to Microsoft, and they're actually all going to get better versions because they're all going to be running at 60 frames per second, while this one's only running at 30 frames per second.
Oh, wow. That's pretty horrible. But, all right.
Yeah, but, I mean, here's the way I look at it. It's only $20. It's actually a, you know, a core game for the core audience, and it's something to, you know, maybe, you know, fill that Wii U gap, since there really aren't very many games coming out this year from Nintendo or anybody else. So while it's definitely strange, I do welcome its bizarre appearance. So hopefully it's good.
Yeah, hopefully we get a demo. I'll try anything.
Yeah, I'm not betting on that happening for a $20 game.
No, I don't
game,
think so either.
It's supposed to be out on October 25th. Anyway, that's all we have for the news this week, but I do want to go through some reader mail that's been accumulating.
All right.
Let's dive into this. The first one we've got is from Joey T, and he writes in asking about The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. He asks, was Zelda's gameplay as smooth as Toad's forehead? Can you use the Wii U motion to aim in first person? In Twilight Princess HD, you can't move Link while aiming, unlike Wind Waker HD, which is really smooth moving with the stick and aiming with motion controls. Were you able to aim and move?
All right, there's a lot of questions in there. Starting with, is the gameplay smooth?
Was it smooth? It seemed pretty smooth to me.
Was it 60 frames a second gameplay?
I'm terrible at figuring out frames per second stuff, and frame rate hits don't really bother me too much.
Okay.
But, you know, it certainly didn't seem like a problem. It certainly seemed smooth enough for me.
Okay.
I'm not going to give any complaints about that. And as far as using, you know, Wii U motion controls to aim, yes, you can. In fact, that was completely intuitive. You know, it came time for me to use my bow against some enemies, and I just flipped up the Wii U gamepad and started aiming and shooting, and it just, you know, I hardly even thought about it. It was just like, this is the natural thing to do, let's do it, and it totally worked.
Was it compulsory? Did you have to use the motion controls, or could you use the stick? Do you remember?
I'm not sure. All I know is that that's the way I did it.
Okay.
And it just felt like the natural thing to do. I can't remember if I was still moving myself around with the stick when I was doing that or not, I'm afraid.
I would say you have to be able to move while you're aiming. I mean, come on.
I probably was.
Yeah.
Because this was that incident where I attacked an enemy encampment and I kind of totally mucked it up and they all saw me and started chasing after me.
Yeah.
And here I am trying to snipe them with arrows before they got me. And so I'm, you know, trying to back away and get out of range before they all come and swarm me, but also trying to take them out with arrows at the same time. Of course, it ended with my humiliating one-hit death from a super strong bad guy.
So after you die in your
demo, very intuitive to me.
Yeah, after you die in your demo, do they make you step to the back of the line, or do you get to continue playing for?
It was a time demo, so I got to keep playing until my time ran out. There.
Did anybody at Nintendo mock you?
I'm sure they did, but they did it silently and not to my face.
Were you in a room with a bunch of other people, or is it literally just you, the game, and somebody from Nintendo watching you play?
This was sort of in the upstairs separated area. There were lots of people there. There were lots of stations. Each one, you know, sort of had a monitor who would, you know, keep watch over you and be able to, you know, offer you some advice and tell you how things worked if you had any questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry I can't answer all the questions about this one, but certainly you can use the Wii U gamepad's motion to aim, and certainly it felt very smooth and natural to me.
So. Just a question as a fanboy. When you go hands-on with a game that's this anticipated, are you giddy with excitement, or are you really like, I'm down to business, this is my job, I'm just going to play this game and be very objective? What's your thoughts there? How did you feel when you picked up the gamepad and started playing this game?
Well, this year I wasn't doing this for anybody except for myself and our fans here at Power Pros. I didn't have to worry about coming back and writing it up for a website or for a magazine or anything like that. So this year was pretty much just me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to enjoy it much more as a fan than I usually am. I mean, I was still, you know, very intense. I remember after I played, or in fact, during when I played, my leg locked up on me and I got a big old nasty leg cramp and I was like, oh, this is really hard to keep playing while I've got a horrible leg cramp.
Oh, man.
But I did it. Yeah. I mean, it's Breath of the Wild. What's a, you know, little leg cramp compared to getting to play
you did it
the
for
Legend
the show.
Of Zelda Breath of the Wild. Of course I'm going to keep going.
Well, that's awesome because I rarely get to play games at E3. So, yeah, I'm glad you played through it. Played through the hurt.
Yeah, it was fun. They would have to, you know, physically pull me away, and I think they almost did. Okay, moving on to our next letter. This one from Brian Booth. You want to read this one?
Sure. Brian says, he has one suggestion, if he may be so bold. He enjoyed our list of best of episodes and would love to be able to go back and take them in at a glance. How would we feel about posting a text version of our list somewhere? Did you do that? Did you do that in the description? We should do that.
Well, I haven't done that before. You know, I don't want to give away everything.
Well, we should do it after the show.
But
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it's worth putting in the description. What do you think?
I think it's a fine idea. Anything in the description is actually a little problematic, but you know, I haven't talked about this in the show for a while because I've gotten really lazy about doing the updates. I do have my blog at christhehoff.tumblr.com.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking the next time we do one of these list style episodes, I could put it up there.
Yeah, put the whole list up there.
I think that's what I'm going to try doing from here on out.
And if you give me your login, I'll go in there and I'll put links to the games on, I don't know, YouTube or Wikipedia. You can see what the games look like.
So I think it's a good suggestion. Thank you very much, Brian.
Excellent suggestion, Brian. And thank you for sending in a letter. It was a physical letter with a stamp on it?
No, these are all emails.
Just speaking of that, we should talk about, I was at your house, I saw some Nintendo Power fan mail in there.
Oh, yes.
I did. And they beautifully mm-hmm. drawn.
Yeah, still got a pile there.
Yeah.
From several years ago.
I think that's so cool that you saved that. I think that's really a nice, I mean.
Yeah, I couldn't bear to part with it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I mean, that's really awesome. The fact that kids took their time, you know, kids, teens, drawing these
adults,
intricate
probably.
Like and I sent a letter to Nintendo Power. I drew Mario on an envelope and sent it in, so I know that you know, maybe it crossed went through your hands, but man, that's so neat that you have some of that history from Nintendo Power. So cool.
Yeah, couldn't bear to part with it.
So send us letters, don't send us physical letters. Send us an email.
So moving on to the next one, it's another one from Joey T. I found your Sonic discussion very intriguing, especially when you talked about public perception making a quick decision that not only is a Sonic game not worth our time, but that it's terrible, thus making it very hard to release a Sonic game to natural excitement. Is there another series that suffers from this? Also, I was wondering if you guys have tried Freedom Planet. I'm going to answer that last part first. Which is, no, I have not played Freedom Planet. In fact, I hardly even knew what it was until I read this letter. Have you played that one?
No, I haven't. Mm-mm. But I'll check it out.
Yeah, it's a very interesting looking platformer that's available for download on Wii U as well as other systems. And yeah, I might look into that to see if it's any good.
Mm-hmm.
As for the other question about other series that sort of suffer from this Sonic effect where people were just, you know, very, very quick to judge. I guess, you know, I can't really think of too many other series that are like that, but certainly that's something that the new Metroid Prime Federation Force has been suffering from. You know, people just hated that game right out of the gate, and it doesn't seem like they're willing to give that one a chance.
Yeah. I think when you're given something with the same name as something you absolutely love and it's not that thing, mm-hmm. I think that just instantly colors you against what that is. I mean, even if it's good.
No, that's certainly part of it.
Yeah, even if it's good, it's going to be bad because, my gosh, it's not the thing. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think Mega Man has this problem, to be honest. You know, when we don't get the Mega Man we think we want, we don't like that Mega Man.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
You're playing those silly Mega Man baby games. You, Chris.
Yeah, I like Battle Network. Battle Network's pretty good.
All right.
Star Force is pretty
you're
good.
You're the only one. Well, you're not the only one, but man, I can't get into Battle Network. I can't get into Battle Network at all. I tried. Good gosh, I tried. It's not good. It's not good. It's not good.
Oh, it's good. Oh. I mean, it's not what you expect. See, this is what you were talking about, is it's not what you expect.
All right, maybe good. Maybe I need to rename it, like, I don't know, Blue Robot Adventures or something. Maybe that'll make me feel better about it.
I'm not sure it was good enough to have, like, you know, six mainline entries with, you know, all those different variations, but it was still pretty good. But back to this question, you know, another series where I noticed something like this happening was Tekken.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that hasn't been on Nintendo systems mm-hmm. too much. Mm-hmm. You know, there was the GBA one, and then there was the Wii U one, and maybe, you know, the one on 3DS as well. But I remember when it was just in arcades and on PlayStation, and Tekken 1 came out, and Tekken 2 came out, and I wasn't really a big fan because I really didn't care for the blocky visuals. And then 3 yeah. came out, and I'm like, oh, now I get mm-hmm. it. Now I understand why people like this series so much, because it finally has good looks to go along with the gameplay. Yeah. And so I was really getting into it, and I really enjoyed that. And then the next one came out, which was Tekken... Well, I guess Tekken Tag came out next, and people were kind of lukewarm on that. And then Tekken 4 came out, and people were like, meh, it's another Tekken. I'm like, what the heck? You guys, everyone was so excited about this before. How come you don't care? They're like, eh, who cares about Tekken? Mm. Tekken was never good. Tekken stinks. Like, this was not your opinion, you know, when the other ones came out. And I'm not really sure what the reception has been for, you know, Tekken 7 so far. It's not on Nintendo, so I haven't really been paying mm-hmm. too close attention. But I feel like that is another series that people are just kind of like, meh, whatever, we don't care.
Yeah, although there are the Tekken diehards that will just love every Tekken game.
Oh, sure. Same with Sonic, too.
Yeah, so, I went to...
you got to meet a lot of them.
Yeah, I went to a couple things at San Diego Comic-Con, but one of them was a demo that Bandai Namco put on for us, and our host got to play Tekken 7, and she loved it. Okay. She loved it.
Well, anyway, that's the only one that really, you know, comes to mind that suffers that same sort of effect that Sonic does. So, anyway, let's move on to our next one. Do you want to read this email from Andrew Medding?
I would love to. Thank you, Andrew, for sending in an email. Andrew absolutely loved your recent slant on the NX recent rumors and features that we'd love to see. Andrew's wondering if there were any games we think would benefit from the new rumored features. He says that the portability and detachable controllers sound like a really interesting feature that could be implemented in multiplayer games, and he would personally love to see a Mario Kart game that benefits from this. What do we think? What do you think, Hoff?
Well, I think it's a great question. I don't have a great answer, I'm afraid, because I don't really know enough about, you know, what NX could possibly do. I mean, the rumor is it's going to have these detachable and configurable controllers. But what kind of features are these controllers going to have? I don't know. How are these controllers going to be configurable, and what will you be able to do with them? I'm not sure. How could any of this stuff, you know, offer things that, you know, the Wii U or the Wii didn't offer? That's the question that Nintendo needs to answer to sell me on this proposition, if indeed that's what NX is going to be. Because right now, I can't really think of any way that this would improve upon the experience that I've gotten out of video games with, you know, traditional controls or the Wii U gamepad. So, you know, unfortunately, I'm you know, just going to have to take a wait and see approach on this one. What about you?
I mean, like with the Wii and the Wii U, we had a Mario Kart game where the motion controls were just a goofy thing you did. Because look, I can steer the car-ish with these mm-hmm. motion controls and crash into the wall constantly. So I don't know if they're ever going to get to a point where a motion control is going to work like a good steering wheel stick. But that said, mm-hmm. if it has this detachable, configurable controller thing, maybe they do give us a real steering wheel with gas and brake pedals. Or, I mean, pie in the sky idea. What if, have you ever played, what is it, Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes? Where you're basically diffusing.
I don't know about that.
Oh, it's a bomb diffusion game. You diffuse.
What's it for?
It's a PC game. You're supposed to diffuse a bomb.
Filthy PC gamers.
But I think it would.
I kid the PC gamers.
It would
gamers.
Be cool if there were, you know, specialized controller parts that, you know, had functions of what a defusing a bomb might entail, including flipping switches with LED lights. And, you know, some of the crazier games that I see people really obsess over, like the like that construction game where you're driving a tractor and there's actually hand controls for this thing. Have you seen that? It was on like the, it was either on the Saturn or the PS2. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I have no idea what you're talking about. It's like a construction game with Steel Battalion.
Steel Battalion, like where, yeah. I mean, imagine a console game with an infinite controller. I mean, if you bought a game and each game had a little module that was part of a unique control schema, I think that's a really neat idea. I think if I had a game and then there was a little module that came with the game that made, you know, it has its own, I don't know, analog lever, or this game has its own rollerball, or this game comes with something similar to like a mouse, I think that's a really, really neat thing. Especially if these controller modules are small enough and inexpensive enough to pack in with a game. I mean, this is what old like games like Star Raiders on the Atari 2600. Obviously, in the NES era, we had the Power Pad, which is awful, and the Power Glove. But I think we've gotten to the point where, you know, people are open to different controller schemas. And I think the Wii kind of had that going for it with these wacky like tennis handle, like it was shaped like a tennis racket and you just put the Wii controller in the handle, right. Or it was shaped like a, I don't know, a baseball bat. What a terrible idea, by the way. But yeah, I think it really opens up a lot of possibilities when you open the ability for developers to make specialized controllers. I think that's a great thing.
Okay, cool.
Right?
Good answer.
Like, what if it's a cash register game and you got to do the math on the cash register? I don't know. It comes to the cash register.
Kids love doing math on cash registers.
Or it's Mavis Beacon teaches typing, and or Mario teaches typing.
Okay, on to our last letter. This is another one from our friend Joey T. He's also got a response to the NX rumors. He says, so the number one thing I want is singularity. I want to be able to transfer every digital game that I have purchased with my 3DS and my Wii U to the NX, if it's a hybrid, with my Nintendo account on release day. I like the feeling of having my 3DS filled with all the games that represent who I am and what I like to play, but my Nintendo collection is always split. I do have two questions. Specifically for me, do you think that the power of the NX system is more important to you than combining the libraries of console and portable? And two, if it is a hybrid system, then what do you think the price point would be for an NX game? So yeah, he brings up a lot of good points here.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when it comes to, you know, being able to combine all your libraries, you know, I wouldn't really get your hopes up too much with that, because it sounds like this thing is not going to be backwards compatible. I mean, maybe the library is going to be unified from here on out, but I don't think you're going to be able to call up all your digital purchases from Wii U and 3DS and play them on your NX in the future. Hopefully you'll be able to do it with you know, virtual console stuff, at least, since those games will likely continue on NX. But other than that, I'm not really expecting it to happen. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I don't see them getting it right this time. I mean, I hate saying getting it right, but I know it's going to save costs to not do that. And I know they're going to make more money by reselling you Mega Man 2 again on your new Nintendo NX.
I'm going to keep buying that one.
What would blow my mind, but would be super awesome, is if it at least had a slot for the 3DS games to be inserted, so you could play your 3DS games on it. I think that would be pretty cool. What do you think?
Well, that'll only work if it, you know, has two screens. So,
well, it doesn't need it doesn't need two screens. It needs to have a big enough screen to fit both of those screens on it.
I guess that's true. I suppose that's a very good point.
Yeah, and if it's a capacitive touchscreen and not a resistive touchscreen, and the difference being, and you probably know this already, but capacitive is electrons on the surface of the screen sense the presence of your finger interfering with the electrons, and it registers a touch, as opposed to a capacitive screen where, like the 3DS, if you press hard enough, it registers a touch. I think whatever this is, if it's a touch screen, it's going to be capacitive, so they're going to have to include some sort of stylus that registers touch, not unlike the pen, the new pencil for the app, the iPad. So yeah, I do believe that if they, I think it's a good chance that there's going to be 3DS backwards compatibility with this thing, but I'm not going to hold it. But I don't expect any digital backwards compatibility. I don't expect any of that library coming over. I think they'll honor some retail games, but they're not gonna make it work with your old eShop purchases. I don't even think you'll be able to transfer your balance. That's how crappy I think the experience is going to be, but we'll see.
I think they will let you do that.
Okay.
I mean, they do have the My Nintendo account for a reason. So, you know, I'm hoping that they'll once again either give you a discount on your Virtual Console games if they don't let you transfer them outright. But, yeah, as far as the other stuff goes, I think we're totally on the same page about that. Not very likely to happen.
All right.
On to this next part of the question about if, you know, the power is more important than combining the libraries. To me, you know, the way I was thinking about it when we talked about it last week, I was thinking, yeah, definitely, definitely power is key. I was kind of thinking, you know, the way I would like to see the system done is kind of like the way that Apple does it, where they have the more powerful system, you know, so to speak, and that is like with the iPad. And that can play, you know, all kinds of things, and it can do them in higher, you know, quality than you can on the iPhone. And you can play all that stuff on your iPad, but you can't play your iPad games on your iPhone. Mm-hmm. So you can take the lesser games and be like, yeah, you can still play these on, you know, the core main, more powerful system, but it's not, doesn't necessarily work both ways. And that's kind of how I was envisioning NX might be before we heard these latest rumors. But now I've actually come around to thinking it a bit in a different way. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, maybe, you know, these rumors we're hearing about NX, maybe I'm interpreting them completely wrong. Maybe the way I should be thinking of it isn't that it's an underpowered console that can't compete technologically with the PS4 and the Xbox One. Maybe I should be thinking of it as this is the most awesome, most powerful, most incredible handheld system ever made. Oh, and guess what? You can plug it into your TV as well. And so when you think of it that way, it's like, hey, you know, Nintendo, you know, they haven't been number one in the console generation in a long, long time. But as far as handheld goes, you know, they've been dominating for the past 20 years. And no one can compete with them when it comes to a dedicated video game system. So maybe that's the way you can think of this if those rumors turn out to be true. That they're just making the most, you know, kick-ass handheld ever, and, you know, power doesn't need to be super important. And if you look at it from that way, then I can certainly see the reasoning for it not being as powerful as I was talking about last week. So those are my new thoughts on that. Do you have anything you want to add, or do you just want to address this price point?
No, question? I just want to say it better be awesome. If they're gonna make it slightly underpowered or even vastly underpowered, like the 3DS. I mean, when you look at a 3DS and you look at a PS Vita, but I mean, you turn up your nose, but the PSP. If you look at the PSP and the 3DS, oh my gosh, it's night and day how much higher resolution the PSP is over the 3DS. But I'll take the 3DS over the PSP any day of the week. The games are better, and it's in 3D.
Now, supposedly, you know, if the rumor is true, the NX would be far, far, far more powerful than that.
It better be.
I mean, it's still supposed to be more powerful than a Wii U.
I'll believe it when I see it. I will believe it when I see
well,
it. I hope it's powerful,
so it's gonna be,
but gosh.
It's going to be running this little game called The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
I do know that.
And supposedly it's going to be better on NX. So that's the thing that gives me hope and makes me feel like, yes, this is actually going to be a very capable system. So,
all right.
But yeah, as to the price point of an NX game, you know, hopefully they'll be able to have a variable price point. Hopefully they'll have, you know, cheaper stuff that if it's, you know, coming in at maybe the quality of a 3DS game, it's only $30 or $40. Mm-hmm. And then something that is a full-blown AAA experience like Zelda, yeah, I would have no problem paying $60 for that. So hopefully they have a bunch of flexibility there for the price points. I don't think it should be fixed. I think it should depend on the type of game. So I think anywhere between $30 to $60, maybe even less for some games, you know, certainly for digital stuff. But yeah, that's my thought on that one.
Yeah, I think we're going to see $60 games. It's just the way of the world. Nintendo's been slow to raise their prices, and I don't think people are going to be buying $60 Mario games on the Wii U, but yeah, unfortunately, we're going to be dealing with $60 prices because that's what video games cost. And honestly, with the rate of, you know, taking inflation into account, our games back in the 80s were $60.
And yeah, totally.
And that's then prices. Now prices, right, you're looking at, that was a, and that's those were the cheap games, kids. If you were going to buy an SNES game and it was an RPG and it had, you know, 2 megs, it was like, oh gosh, there were like $120 SNES games.
Oh, they
games.
Were not. You are crazy.
Well, there weren't.
You are talking crazy. That's,
all
right, that's not even
what
true.
Were there,
that's
80? Not...
$80,
yeah, 80, or 90, 80, $90.
I remember there were some Genesis games, Virtua Fighter, mm-hmm. No, Virtua Racing, and Phantasy Star 4 that came in at $100 on the Genesis.
All right.
And I'm pretty sure the Super Nintendo never got anything that was that expensive.
Well, don't look up Neo Geo prices.
yeah, let's not do that.
All right. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so I have no problem paying like $60 for a Zelda or a Mario or a Metroid. But if suddenly I'm, you know, here's Layton 7, here's Lady Layton,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I'm used to paying $30 for that game, and suddenly it's $60? No, that's crazy. That's the kind of thing I figure should, you know, maintain its, you know, more portable style price point.
Yeah.
So one last thing I want to mention about our good friend Joey T is that he did actually right in with a review that you were talking about last week.
Oh, nice.
He wrote in with a humorous review for you on iTunes, but I'm not sure if anybody else actually wrote in. So, you know, you were the one, Scott. You gave that generous offer last week. What are your thoughts?
So I think we're going to leave it open another week. I'm guessing I'm going to be sending Joey T a $20 eShop card. But yeah, get some more reviews up there on iTunes. I will sort them by date posted. We'll figure out, send us an email, let us know you wrote a review, and we'll put you in the running for that $20 eShop card.
All right. Sounds like a plan.
You can buy something nice with it. You can maybe buy some Shantae and the Pirate's Curse, or I don't know, or Box Boy, or... you got a favorite in there? Ooh, The Binding of Isaac. That's a good one. Or Retro City Rampage.
All right, that does it for this portion of the show. Let's take a little intermission, and when we come back, we will talk about gaming's greatest leaders. All right, we are back, and we are ready to discuss this week's big topic, which is gaming's greatest leaders.
This is gonna be the wackiest conversation we've ever had on this show.
Possibly also gaming's greatest politicians. As I said at the beginning of the show, we're sort of doing this because we're so fed up with having to put up with those political conventions the last couple weeks. So we are going to go down this list of fictional characters and see which of these gaming leaders and politicians would get our endorsement.
All right.
I should mention this is not intended to be an all-inclusive list. I'm sure there are plenty of characters that are being left off. And of course, we are sticking only to characters that have appeared on Nintendo systems.
And we're using the term politician here loosely, I'm going to guess.
Like I said, leaders and politicians.
There are not many elected officials in the Mushroom Kingdom that I can remember.
Well, I don't really know how their political system works. But yes, let us start out with somebody from a place we are very familiar with, that being the Mushroom Kingdom. Let's start with Princess Toadstool.
Okay.
Or, you know, Princess Peach, as she is often known these days. You know, she runs around in her frilly pink dress. She dates Mario. She makes cakes. She gets kidnapped a lot.
She plays tennis.
She does. She spends a lot of time playing tennis and other sports, go-karts, soccer, competes in the Olympic Games, as a matter of fact. She can also float.
And does she rule? Does she rule?
Well, you know, I don't think
she's
a very good leader.
No, she's constantly
like
absent.
All she does.
She gets kidnapped constantly.
She's just getting kidnapped. All she does is get kidnapped, and she lets her entire kingdom get taken over by turtle people. And, you know, then everyone's enslaved, and her castle gets taken off into the sky.
Yeah.
And then she expects a stinking plumber to come in and fix everything. And if she knew what she were doing as a leader, I don't think the Mushroom Kingdom would have nearly these kinds of problems. So what do you think?
You know, they haven't given... Princess Peach has been gotten a kind of a raw deal by whoever's writing her script. I like her as a character. She's constantly being kidnapped. She's kind of helpless. And when she's not helpless, she's awesome. When you can take control
of her.
Yeah,
her floating is really
cool. Yeah, she floats. When you can take control of her.
And she does cry the enemies
to death.
She does.
Super Princess Peach. yeah, that was kind of sexist and awful. But it's a great game, but gosh, I really wish Princess Peach got a game where she didn't have to, like, I don't know, balance her feelings to win the game.
Hey, you remember that one game where she totally got naked and went all over Bowser's castle?
No. Oh, wait. Oh, yeah.
It was the bad guy's castle.
That was a Mario and Luigi game. Wait, when she's...
I think it was a Paper Mario.
Oh, Paper Mario. She's in the shower. Oh,
yeah, she's in the
shower. Oh, by the way.
And turns invisible.
By the way.
And then so
I'll leave this...
Sneaking around completely undressed.
I'll leave this as an exercise for the listener. But somebody loaded up Paper Mario, I think it was the Thousand Year Door, into either Dolphin or another emulator. But they were able to...
I don't even know these emulators
They were actually able to rotate... around and see the backside of that shower, and Princess Peach, she stayed clothed the whole time she was in that shower. So when she went into that shower and started disrobing, she still had her dress on.
Well, thanks. Now you've ruined my fantasies. but does she get your endorsement?
No. Nintendo for office. Nintendo and the powers that be need to make her a stronger character. I love her. I want her to be awesome. I have a Princess Peach DS case for my 3DS, so I'm definitely a fan, but she needs to be cooler and not such a pushover.
I agree. Way too many kidnappings, way too many letting bad guys take over a kingdom. Yep. Does not get my endorsement.
There are way better women characters in games than Princess Peach, but I do like her.
Now, what about her counterpart from Sarasaland? What about Princess Daisy?
I like Daisy a little more. How about you?
Really?
Yeah. I mean...
Well, she doesn't even bother sticking around her kingdom. I don't even know what she does. I mean,
drives
Princess
a car
Toadstool
and plays tennis.
Kind of ineffective.
Yeah.
And Princess Toadstool's ineffective, but at least she's there in her castle trying to rule. As far as I can tell, Princess Daisy has abandoned her people, and Sarasaland is like, you know, to heck with these guys. I'm just going to go, play some sports and race carts and maybe make out with Luigi a little bit. I don't know.
I hope not. He's a doofus.
The one thing I do like about her is that if you remember, there was that one Smash Brothers game where we discovered that she actually had a third eyeball on the back of her head. So,
are you serious?
Yeah,
I didn't know about this.
If you zoomed on the character model and kind of got inside the polygons, She had a third eyeball on the back of her head. Anyway, so she'd be very, very observant because of that. But yeah, I don't feel like she really knows what she's doing in the leadership arena. Mm-hmm. Maybe she'd be good as the head of security because she has this extra eyeball. But no, she does not get my endorsement.
All right. Well, I think she's an independent woman. She's obviously not ruling her kingdom. I hate to say it. She's just basically a reskin of, of Princess Peach. They just reskinned her. Just give her brown hair. It's the same character. But yeah.
Are you giving your endorsement or not?
I kind of am, just because I think she's a bit... At least she's not helpless. Oh, except in Super Mario Land. Whoops, but...
Okay, next on our list, also from the Mushroom Kingdom, or thereabouts, how about King Bowser?
I like him. He's funny.
That he is. He has a good sense of humor. He's very ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
He never gives up. You know, no matter how many times he fails, he just keeps trying. So those are all very good traits to have in a leader. On the other hand, he's pretty evil. He's completely evil.
No, he's not completely evil.
Okay, he's not completely evil. He's only like
at least in the Mario 70%, in the Mario and Luigi games. Evil? And honestly, when he's not making problems for Mario, he's fun to play with in Mario Kart, and he can play tennis too and golf.
Yes, he's a very athletic.
I don't know, King Bowser, like. He's not, I mean, honestly, he's got a better handle on his minions than Princess Peach.
Yes, I think so. But ultimately, he always loses and gets defeated by a plumber every single time. Plus, he is a deadbeat dad who refuses to acknowledge his seven kids.
Yep.
He's like, oh no, I've only got Bowser Jr. I don't know who these other seven people are. Yeah, well, I read the manual to Super Mario Brothers 3, King Bowser, and I know that those are your kids. They said, we are Bowser's kids. We love to be mean. So, you know, he has a lot of good qualities, but overall, I don't trust him any further than I can throw him. So, no, he does not get my endorsement either.
All right. Nope, not mine either. I mean, he's a cool character, but I don't know. I'm not wearing a Bowser t-shirt, and I don't have a Bowser DS case. Although, that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it?
It would. They don't sell enough. There's a really cool Bowser shirt on Miitomo right there now, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, they don't...
I dig it.
Yeah, all right.
Okay. Next, we have the King of Red Lions from The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
Oh, this is a specific reference that I have no idea who this is.
Okay, there's some big spoilers involved here.
I haven't finished Wind Waker,
you
know, but that's my fault.
Maybe fast forward this part if you haven't played Wind Waker or Wind Waker HD yet. But what you discover partway through the game is that your talking boat, the King of Red Lions, is actually, spoiler surprise, the King of Hyrule.
Oh.
The King of Hyrule actually lives on as this talking boat, and... You know, he's a good guide. He's a telepath. He helps you throughout the game. Seems very generous in some ways. And so I'd like to think that he's a good man and a good king. But then, when we get to the end of the game, and you're there and you're facing off with Ganondorf, and he's like, ha-ha, I've got the Triforce. And then, there's the king. And... he's actually, you know, he's like, haha, I have the Triforce, and I'm going to make a wish. And what does he wish for? He wishes to flood the whole stinking world again. Like, man, what terrible judgment. You can have any wish you want. And you could have said, hey, I wish that Ganondorf and evil was gone forever so the world would be nice again. Or he could have said, hey, I wish that Ganondorf were turned into a little pony so I wouldn't have to worry about what he does anymore. But no, he just, you know, he drowns the whole world again and makes life very difficult for everybody that's, you know, trying to eke out an existence on this water-filled world. So I think he was being kind of selfish and, apparently, you know, he unleashed this watery Armageddon to begin with, so... what do you feel about this guy?
I mean, that's pretty apocalyptic. I don't think that's a... Didn't all of Link's family and everybody die? Whoever was, I don't know, not in a boat?
Well, I mean, at this point in the game, most of the world is submerged already. So it doesn't make anything new happen. He's just like, oh, I'm going to just wash away the evil, keep the water coming, keep Hyrule buried forever, blah, blah, blah.
Hmm.
And so it doesn't really change anything. But he could have done a lot of good with his wish. But instead, he's like, I will just give the gift of hope. Great, everybody. Now you can hope that you don't have to live in this stinking, fishless, giant ocean forever.
He created water.
Go off and...
Yeah, he created Water World.
Go hang out with Captain Linebeck in the future and then ride your train around.
Yeah. Mm.
So, I can't endorse him. Can't All endorse right. him either.
Not voting for him.
Now, what about Princess Zelda?
Yeah. I'm down with Zelda.
You know, there have been many incarnations of Zelda, but... I kind of get the feeling, you know, she's usually a go-getter. I mean, a lot of times she gets kidnapped, and yes, there was that one game where she spent the entire thing being asleep, but there was also that one game where she got turned into a ghost, and she was still very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
In Twilight Princess, she, you know, clearly tried to protect her people from Zant's invasion from the Twilight Realm, and then she even went and sacrificed herself so that Midna could live. So... overall, I would say that, you know, she usually does a good job. She seemed like a good leader. She, you know, surrendered when she needed to keep her people as safe as possible. You know, kind of didn't really get the job done, but still, I think I could endorse her overall.
Yeah, I like her. She's a strong character. I would definitely vote for her if it came up to an election.
Plus, you know, in Ocarina, you know, she disguised herself and, you know, obviously had all kinds of mad skills as she was, you know, running around as Sheik. So, yeah, I like her.
All right.
Now, what about an actual elected official? What about Tortimer, the mayor from Animal Crossing?
It's funny because before the show, I was like, who is the mayor of Animal Crossing? And... and it is Tortimer. If it's not you, it's Tortimer. Because in New Leaf...
Yes, of course, the newest game, it's you. You are the mayor.
So if,
but it used to be Tortimer.
If you don't like the mayor of New Leaf, you're in trouble. Tortimer. He's apparently always asleep when you go visit him. And you have to figure out how to wake him up. How do you wake? Do you know? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
I couldn't tell
you. Well, I can't...
In fact, he puts me to sleep.
Yeah, honestly, so. A hunched over tortoise who... can't be bothered to wake up when his villagers come visit is not a very good representative.
Yeah, makes you wonder how he got elected.
Well,
to
I guess
with.
That's why you're the mayor of New Leaf.
I guess so. I suppose so. So yeah, nope, not going to give my endorsement to Tortimer. Next up, from Donkey Kong Country, King K. Rool.
Mm, King K.
He is a king. Mm-hmm. He has a crown.
Yep.
He's very large and in charge.
Yeah, he's kind of like a fat... crocodile?
Yeah, like a big crocodile lizard thing. His main platform seems to be that he wants to steal bananas from gorillas.
All right. That's not a really strong, I don't know, motive.
No,
I don't
know.
Really, it's kind of weak.
It's really not a good platform to run on. And plus, in the end, he is stomped by said gorilla and, run off and defeated. And he doesn't even get the bananas in the end. So I'm saying no endorsement for King mm-hmm. K. Rool. In fact, I don't even endorse him as a character for Smash Brothers.
Am I kicked off the show if I say I'm not a huge fan of the Donkey Kong Country series? I'm just
maybe.
Not a
we'll
fan.
Think about
just
it.
Not a huge
I know
fan.
A lot of people that aren't.
I liked Tropical Freeze, but man, it's hard as nails. Like, why does it have to be so
hard? It is
hard.
You know, earlier we were talking about games that people suddenly hated. That series is kind of another one. Not back in the day. In the day, people were like, oh my gosh, Donkey Kong Country, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Look at
this
stuff.
Yeah, the graphics were pretty mind-blowing. I mean, the fact that...
And then I feel 3D... like, you know, in recent years, some people are like, oh, the original Donkey Kong Country? Oh no, that series was always terrible. It was awful to begin with. But this new one is good.
No.
So it's not quite the same thing, but I feel like that was one where it suddenly got retconned in everybody's brain. Mm-hmm. And they pretended that they never liked it to begin with. But the next one on our list is Shoko from Liberation Maiden.
I'm not familiar with
it. Have you played?
No.
Okay, well, let me tell you about Shoko and this game. This is a downloadable 3DS game from Grasshopper Manufacture and Level 5. And Shoko is the newly elected high school-aged president of New Japan. And she goes and gets into a semi-transforming mech suit and lays the smackdown on these alien invaders who are trying to destroy Earth. So if there is, you know, any politician there who is a go-getter, who is willing to, you know, put her people first, I think it's probably her. She is a pretty kick-ass character.
So what makes her an elected official?
Well, she was elected the president of New Japan.
Well, her father was assassinated. Was she elected?
Yes, she was elected. She decided to run after his death. Mm-hmm. And right at the beginning, there's this cutscene where you see that she wins like 273-something or other votes to 203
it's,
or something like
I'm
that.
I'm guessing it's pretty rare to have a shooter have this much backstory.
Maybe. Possibly.
I'm surprised I haven't heard of this because I love shooters. I'm
it's a pretty fun little game.
And it says that the there are cutscenes that were animated by Studio Bones, which is pretty awesome.
The cutscenes are beautiful. They're gorgeous. They look
so
great.
So if you like anime, Studio Bones did One Punch Man and more recently a new show called Mob Psycho 100.
And so while I would say that the game is pretty good from what I've played, what I want to know is, does she get your endorsement as a politician?
Oh, yeah. She just for being a shoot 'em up. I'm down.
She totally gets my endorsement. She'd be one of my top picks. And moving on to our next one, King Korobo from Little King's Story.
All right. That's a great game.
It is. It's a really, really fun game. So we've got this little guy, the king from Little King's Story. And, you know, he is a leader. I'm not sure he was elected because actually he just like found this magic crown and magic scepter. And he's suddenly, you know, he's able to control people. And he sort of becomes this self-proclaimed ruler of this land. And I haven't played the game in a long time, but it's, you know, something pretty entertaining. They tell him, like, well, the entirety of your kingdom consists of 3 people and 14 goats. And so, probably even less than that. Mm-hmm. It's probably, you know, 2 people, a dog, and a sheep or something like that. But he starts out with almost nothing. And even though he is kind of using, you know, magic and mind control to make people do his bidding, he turns this tiny little kingdom and this world that's all, you know, polluted and taken over by these cutesy bad guys, and he builds it up and he unifies the kingdom and he's liberating everybody and making the world nice and good and making more people flock to his side, and he turns out to be a very, very good leader, as it turns out. So
how would you describe the gameplay in this thing? Is it a puzzle platformer? What would you call this?
I would call it I think it's a real-time strategy game.
Really?
It's certainly far from your typical one, but I think that's the category you'd fall it would fall into if you had to place it into an existing category. But it's very, very charming. It's a very fun game, one of the hidden gems on the Wii. And like I said, you know, he takes his little kingdom of Alpoco and takes it from nothing into being a great and glorious place. And he seems to, you know, care for his people. So King Korobo gets my endorsement as well. You?
Sure. I mean, it's one of those, I would say it's one of those hidden gems on the Wii. So,
right.
Go pick that one up if you can. If you can find it for less than $200. I think it's expensive. Or can you get it on...
Really? I thought it was...
Can you get it on the eShop?
It was fairly cheap the last time I checked. But if you can't get it that way, there is the new higher resolution PC version that comes out this week.
Oh, cool. So, yeah. All right. I mean, if you have a PC.
Moving on to our next one, King Edgar from Final Fantasy VI. Please tell me you have played Final Fantasy VI, a.k.a. Final Fantasy III.
Final Fantasy
when it
III.
Came out here originally. It was Final Fantasy III on the Super Nintendo, and I have vowed that I would try to never have to explain that. And just keep calling it Final Fantasy VI, but it keeps coming up somehow.
Yeah, we're still missing.
I was hoping everyone knew that.
Yeah, have we settled and gotten all the Final Fantasy games now in English, Or no, we're still missing more some. More or less.
No,
but
Final Fantasy III was originally a Famicom game, and it never came out on the NES, but we did get a 3D adaptation on DS.
Okay.
So,
oh yeah,
we finally
got Final
Fantasy III as it originally was. But of course, you know, years before, we got Final Fantasy VI called Final Fantasy III back in 1994. And King Edgar is one of the characters. And so you know everything about him, right?
Sure.
You've played this beloved
You know what?
Groundbreaking
RPG.
I do
believe, and you're gonna, your toenails are going to curl when you hear this. I believe I rented that game back in the day and played it for a weekend. Mm. And you can't get very far in a weekend. So that's
oh,
my whole...
Oh, I beg to differ.
Oh, come on. Oh, all right. How far did you get in a weekend?
After I played Final Fantasy VI, a.k.a. 3, and fell in love with it, I decided I had to go back and play Final Fantasy IV, a.k.a. 2.
Okay.
And so I rented that one, and I got through the entire game on a three-day rental.
I'm not surprised, and this is coming only because
I don't think I slept.
I believe that.
I
believe that.
3 days.
Okay. I believe that. That's.
I've never played a game like that before or since.
That's insane.
I don't recommend it. I don't remember anything about the game.
Wow.
But I did do it.
All right.
I was much younger then. So, King Edgar. What can you tell me about King Edgar?
Very little.
You've never actually played it.
I have. I mean, how am I going to
Well, you said you played it for the weekend.
How am I going to remember it? I mean, there's no way.
King Edgar was the king of Figaro. Mm-hmm. He's very smart, and he he pretended to be allied with the Empire, but he clearly was part of the resistance. He was one of the good guys. He's on your side. He's a playable character, and he becomes a chainsaw wielding maniac in one of his attacks. So that's always a plus. He also can wield a power drill. And, other various types of equipment because, like I said, he's very smart. He works with machines. He's very clever with these machines and uses them to his advantage. He is also a womanizer. So if he were elected, I could see him pulling, a Bill Clinton or something. But, that aside, he proved himself to be a very capable leader. He was very smart, and he was certainly a politician I would want on my side. So he certainly gets my endorsement. Can you remember enough about him to decide if you would?
No, I can't. But I do know that these are some of the best RPGs ever made. And so how can I go back and play this now? On what platforms? I can probably play this on iOS, can't I?
There is that version. Mm-hmm. You can also play it on Virtual Console on Wii.
Okay.
Or you can try to track down Final Fantasy VI Advance on the Game Boy Advance.
Ooh.
I know you have a lot of Game Boy Advances.
That's
now,
a challenge. So. Yeah, I do have a lot. Oh, I backlit an original Game Boy on Sunday.
Oh, nice.
That sucker is awesome. I'm going to show you the next time I see you. What a backlit Game Boy looks like. It's awesome. It's so cool. It's like the way it was meant to be played.
Very cool. Glad to hear it. Well, moving on to another popular 16-bit era RPG, Chrono Trigger, we've got Queen Zeal. She was, of course, the queen of the Kingdom of Zeal, which was floating in the sky. You know, a very sort of luxurious kingdom. Powerful and technologically advanced. And, sure, there were all of the little people living on the earth down below, and she really didn't care about them. But it did seem like she knew what she was doing and, ran a tight ship in a powerful kingdom. What do you think of her?
I don't know much about her because I haven't ever finished playing Chrono Trigger. I've literally
you and Chris Slate, jeez.
Chris Slate's never played Chrono Trigger either. I'm gonna have to
he's never finished
the thing. It.
It's up with my co-hosts.
It's an RPG, okay? It's an RPG and
it's a fairly short RPG.
All right, is it? All right.
Yeah, it's like 25 hours or something.
All right.
Less.
All right. Well, You're talking to a guy that really enjoys a good old game of Dig Dug. So I'm going to have to, and, you know, jump in, jump out gameplay. And I'm really enjoying that Kirby Planet Robobot game. Man, that's such fun. I've tried to limit the amount of time I'm playing it because it's super easy to just blaze through because it is an easy game. But yeah, Chrono Trigger. So here's the thing. On the SNES, it's prohibitively expensive to buy this game on the SNES. Mm-hmm. Ideally, I want to play it on my Super Nintendo.
Well, the DS version is arguably better than the Super NES version. You can still get that for pretty cheap. Yeah.
Well,
you can find the DS cartridge for fairly affordable rates, I believe.
I'll make that my next purchase.
But unfortunately, I'm going to spoil for you the fate of Queen Zeal.
I don't play games like Chrono Trigger to for the story.
She seems like she knows what she's doing, but, kind of her whole kingdom collapses because she makes a deal with evil, and the whole thing falls into the sea, and her children get sucked through a time portal to who knows where, and, you know, she ends up partnering with the most evil cosmic force in the universe. So I would definitely not give her my endorsement for that reason.
Okay.
Queen Zeal ends up, she's very naughty.
Gotcha. Well, so, I misspoke by saying I wouldn't play this game for its story. I understand that Chrono Trigger has a beautiful and elaborate story, but
it's a great game. You should totally finish it. Yeah. All right. Last, but certainly not least, Mike Hagar from Final Fight.
All right, you're going to have to explain this one to me. One, there's a story in Final Fight. You're going to have to bring me that. And then two, how is this guy an elected official?
Well, he used to be a pro wrestler. Okay. He used to be a street fighter.
Okay.
But now he is the mayor of Metro City, a well-known crime capital.
Oh, so he's cleaning up the city single-handedly or with help of his friend.
He is literally cleaning up the streets of Metro City. That's how it starts out. You know, he is the newly elected mayor, Mike Hagar, and he's going to put a stop to crime. And that is why the Mad Gear kidnaps his daughter, Jessica. As the beginning of the game goes, Metro City, a well-known crime capital, has been ruled by violence and death for many years. A fact which the newly elected mayor and former street fighter Mike Hagar plans to change. When the Mad Gear learn of Hagar's plans, they take immediate action to bring this new mayor under their control. There, that was a bonus dramatic reading for you. Actually, that wasn't a reading. That was from memory.
I like it. Wow. No way. Really?
And yeah, so his daughter gets kidnapped. Yeah. Yes. I've played this game like 100 times. Probably more than 100 times. I'm a big Final Fight fan.
And he's his daughter gets starred outside of that game. Yeah.
Yes. He's been in Saturday Night Slam Masters, which is a not a prequel to Final Fight exactly, but it does take place before Final Fight, and that's, you know, Mike Hagar as a pro wrestler. He's also been in some other games that didn't appear on Nintendo systems, such as Marvel vs. Capcom 3. And in fact, in that game, if you beat it with Hagar becomes the president of the U.S. In Final Fight, he is just the mayor.
Okay.
And yeah, like I said, his daughter gets kidnapped, so he teams up with his friends, Cody and Guy, Cody being Jessica's girlfriend, and they go out and they beat the crap out of the Mad Gear, and they beat up the cops that have gone bad. They beat up all these thugs. They beat up all these gang members, and they clean up the streets with their bare hands by punching out all these dudes. So
I love how there's a nation.
He doesn't just talk about fighting crime. He literally fights crime. Okay. And he does it with no shirt on and just one suspender. Not sure why, but just one suspender. And he eats barbecue and other foods out of the garbage to maintain his strength. Now, possibly, you know, that's just him, like, you know, being eco-conscious. Like, I'm not going to waste the taxpayers' money on buying food. I'm just going to eat their garbage. Or possibly it's part of some sort of campaign promise. Yes, I will feed the homeless by filling every trash can with a juicy burger or a roast.
Well, I'm disturbed that this is...
You know, it's not a chicken in every pot. It's,
I don't know.
A roast in every phone booth.
So he's representing America here to Japanese children of the world. he and what's his name from Earthbound. This is what Japanese people think America's like. Mike Hagar and the little kid in Earthbound dealing with the alien invasion.
yes, something like that. Well, I don't think that Earthbound was actually supposed to be in the U.S. That was in, you know, Eagle Land.
Oh, I thought it was America. Are you sure?
It's, I'm fairly sure.
Well, we'll...
I think it's fairly... But yes, it's clearly, you know, very America-inspired. Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, you know, I talked to the, you know, one of the creators of Final Fight a couple of years ago, and he was like, yeah, I totally thought that that was, you know, an acceptable name that someone would have in America. Hagar. No, like I don't think he even worried about the Mike part. He thought that Hagar was like, that's a name someone would have.
Maybe
here.
German or something. So. I don't know. Weird. All right. Well, yeah. I know who you're voting
Hagar,
for.
He definitely gets my endorsement. Okay. I think that Hagar... And Shoko.
What's his move? Is it a spin move? He puts his arms out and he spins?
Ah, yes, yes. Well, he does have the spinning clothesline move that knocks everybody back, but it's his leaping pile driver that has won the hearts
that's
and minds
very, that's how
of
American,
children all around
how
the
American.
World.
All right.
I do have a Mike Hagar t-shirt or two. I have one in the vein of that Obama painting.
And instead of hope,
it
says...
I wish it said pile drive. It should say pile drive. It says reform.
Oh, it says reform?
It says reform because, yeah, that was
his platform?
In the game, that was his promise.
Oh, that's so silly.
Yeah, I'm going to clean up the streets, reform. But if it said pile drive, it would be like a perfect shirt.
All right.
So, yes, Hagar gets my endorsement. Hagar would also get my vote. There's also some great pictures online of him pile driving sharks, so feel free to look.
All right,
up.
If you're gonna plug one Final Fight game, is it gonna be the new one on the 3DS?
Well, the Super NES Final Fight just came out on new 3DS Virtual Console.
Right.
The problem with that version is that it did not have two-player.
Oh,
co-op,
yeah, that's a big part of the game,
and it was missing some of the features of the arcade version. So I think that the best version that's available on Nintendo systems is Final Fight 1. That's actually the name, Final Fight 1, O-N-E, for the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, all right. That's another one I got to pick up.
It's also on Virtual Console for Wii U, but I don't think that the Virtual Console GBA games support multiplayer. Mm. So that's kind of pointless there.
Wait a second. Repeat that. The GBA Virtual Console games don't support multiplayer. I guess that makes sense. That's unfortunate, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, probably the best version of Final Fight is like the one you could get that was on 360 and PS3 is Final Fight Double Impact. But we don't talk about that here. So, yeah, Final Fight 1 is the one I would recommend the most for Nintendo system owners. Any closing endorsements for these potential gaming candidates you'd like to make?
I think they're all winners. I don't like to get political. Oh, I do want to say a thing. Definitely register and vote. Don't, if you're an American, and if you're not an American and voting is compulsory, don't worry about it.
Unless you were going to vote for King K. Rool. In that case, don't bother.
That's right. That's right. Don't vote if you're going to vote for King K. Rool. I don't even know what he is. He's just some kind of fat green crocodile.
He's a crocodile man. All right. I think that does it for this week's episode. But before we go, let's do another dramatic reading.
Okay.
This time, it will be from the back of the box of the old Game Boy game, Mr. Chin's Gourmet Paradise. In this high-skill action-adventure game from ROMStar, Mr. Chin is in hot pursuit of his favorite treat. He has come all the way from China to eat as many luscious gourmet peaches as he can, before anyone else discovers how to eat this unique treat. As Mr. Chin, you must pursue the mysterious Momos and zap them into pieces with your Demo Beam. So hurry up and run, jump, zap, and eat as many peaches as you can before they make dinner out of you.
Oh, man. Wow, this game.
Pretty weird, huh?
Yeah, no, the game is super weird, too. I think your score is in calories, kilocalories.
Yes. Yes, it is. Because you're eating peaches. Not sure why he likes peaches so much.
Because he's diabetic.
Living
he's,
beings he's into
diabetic.
Peaches.
He's diabetic. He probably needs to cut back on those peaches.
Maybe he should.
I got to say, the tile set in this game is awful. It's platformer, clearly, but man, the platforms all look just garbage. Terrible.
It's a very, the character design's very old cute. Game.
The character design's cute, but man, whew. I might have to play this one. Well, Chris, I don't know how
it's
you found that. How
simple.
Do you find
it's
these?
Right.
How do you find these? Just give us a hint. Are you on Wikipedia looking through like obscure Game Boy games?
Sometimes I just remember a weird name in my head. Sometimes I'm just perusing a list and think this sounds
all right.
Interesting.
Well, you scored on
you
that one.
Know.
That kids.
Sometimes I'm just looking through my own game library. Not this time though. Anyway, that does it for this week. As always, you can find us at powerpros.podbean.com, and you can follow us at powerprospod on both Facebook and Twitter. You can also follow me, The Hoff, on Twitter at Chris The Hoff, and you can find Scott at Plastic Bugs. You can email us at powerprospod@gmail.com, and if you like the podcast, as we mentioned earlier, you can leave us a rating on iTunes. Thanks for listening, everybody. For myself, Scott Michella.
Thanks for sending in those questions, and thanks for the reviews.
And our good friend Dunban.
Dance with me!
We will see you next time.